If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn it to John, the 13th chapter. The scripture reading this morning will be coming from John, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. John 13, 31 through 35. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another."
I have been enjoying our series on who is God. And the longer we look at this particular subject, and the more that we look at it, we ought to have a greater appreciation for who God is. First couple of weeks, we have been talking about who is God. And since last week, we've been starting to talk about who is the Holy Spirit. And as I was looking at John 13, verses 31 through 35, I was thinking about a great powerful passage of scripture that is, and how that had to have been the foundation as it relates to the Holy Spirit. You're probably thinking, how? How is that? But before we get into that, I want us to recap from last week, because last week we talked about who is the Spirit and relationship to the Word of God. We understand that the Holy Spirit is the one who brought forth the Word. But how was the Holy Spirit referred to? Remember, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit being the Comforter, the Helper. John chapter 14, verse number 26. We understand also that the Holy Spirit, according to last week's lesson, is not an it. He. Jesus, in John 16, verses 7 through verse 13, referred to the Holy Spirit as being he. Remember verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." We understand that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. I failed to bring that out on last week. When we consider the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, you remember Ananias and Sapphira lied. And you remember the rebuke of Peter. He said unto him, "You have not lied unto men, but unto God." There we can conclude very safely that the Holy Spirit, he is God. It is the same Holy Spirit that guided holy men to write the scriptures. Therefore, we know for a fact that the Bible you have in your hand, if it is a translation that can be trusted, we know that it is from the very mind of God. There we were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, and we saw that the only way that I can know what's in the mind of a man, he must tell me. Therefore, the only way that I can know what's in the mind of God, he must tell us. So we know that for a fact. And we saw this on last week. On this week, I want us to consider some things as it relates to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be looking at this particular passage that was read in our hearing. But before we go into that, a few things I want us to address before we look at those passages. Number one, when was the Holy Spirit going to be actively working? Friends, we have to keep in mind that when we consider the scriptures was written in during a time of the miraculous. We're going to see very clearly, as it relates to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13, that the particular time frame that has been completed, because we have the revealed word, therefore is no longer necessary for the Holy Spirit to operate in the way in which he operated then. Friends, we live in a time today that people believe that they have the literal Holy Spirit within them, and it is causing them to speak and do things. Friends, I want to consider, want us to consider, that the Bible does not teach that. Number two, who was the Holy Spirit going to be working through? Now that's vitally important. For we understand holy men moved as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 22. Friends, the Bible is going to clearly point out these things. Number three, what are some individual benefits of the Holy Spirit's teachings? And really, that's what we ought to be concentrating on. What did the Holy Spirit leave us that we may impart it into our hearts, our minds, our souls, our emotions, our feelings? Therefore, we can live the life of God. Number four, what are some corporate benefits, meaning as it relates to the church, that are shown in the scriptures? What are some corporate benefits, meaning as the body of Christ, as the local church of Christ, how does the Spirit's teaching help us to live a life of godliness in the midst of a community that may not know Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Oh, I'm already getting excited. This is powerful. And when we stop and we consider some of these things, I want us to slowly go through some of these things, and I guarantee you to have you out around 12:30, about 30 minutes after the Cowboys play. Then we will conclude with some closing remarks. Therefore, let us listen. Let us learn. Let us decide to lean on the lessons that God has given us that we may have a lasting life with our Lord. In John 13, verses 31 and 32, Jesus here is talking to his disciples, discussing how he, the Son of Man, was going to be glorified. Oh, I wish I had time to really develop this. These lessons, friends, are more from the educational perspective. For the Church of Christ is an educational institution. We come here to learn about God and how we can live our lives. Jesus, five times we see the word glorified or glory. And friends, when we consider this, this is vitally important as it relates to the work of the Spirit. For the Holy Spirit himself would not be able to be distributed or sent, if you will, unless Jesus Christ was first glorified. But what does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus is glorified? Jesus on many occasions talked about his hour. In John chapter 12, as we turn there very swiftly, I want us to take our time and look at some of these passages as we lay the groundwork concerning what Jesus said here in John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. In John chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, notice what your Bible there has to say. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, notice in this prayer, glorify your name. Then the voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, that's his name, and will glorify it again. How was God going to be glorified? How was Jesus going to be glorified? Friends, when we consider John chapter 17, verse number 1 and verse number 4, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. Notice in his prayer what Jesus is saying. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. He's talking about the hour. What hour? You remember in John chapter 2 when Jesus was about to turn water into wine. It wasn't alcoholic beverages, friends. That would violate Habakkuk 2 in verse number 15. But what Jesus was telling his mother, Mary, he says, my hour had not yet come. Meaning it was not time for me to go to the cross and be scourged and crucified, thus delivered to the high priest, delivered to the Jews, delivered to the Romans to be beaten. His hour had not yet come, meaning that it was not yet time. Drop down to verse number 4. I have glorified you. Notice what Jesus says in his prayer on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. But turn to John chapter 7 here as we continue this thought process. We look at some things that are very powerful in this thought process that I want us to slow down and think about. First, Jesus came to do a work. The Holy Spirit was not going to come until Jesus completed his work. I want to say for us, as the people of God, we have to continue working until it's time for us to be glorified. We cannot stop our work for anything. We cannot complete the race unless we do what God has taught us in his word to do. Which means that there are some things that are not going to take place until we finish our work first. Notice in John chapter 7, starting at verse number 37, notice what your Bible there has to say. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and notice the scene that's going on here, friends. He cried out saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, here Jesus, as he pulls from Isaiah 55 and verse number 1, and Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 3, talking about drawing water from the wells of salvation, that if anyone is going to be saved and be able to have the salvation that God has offered unto them, they have to come to him and drink. Here Jesus says, out of his heart will flow. This is in the future active tense in the Greek. In essence, what Jesus is saying, it's not going to happen right now. It's going to happen after a particular time frame. This is going to happen in the future. Not right now, but in the future. Notice what's going to happen. Flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. This is why I started with John 13, verse 31 and 32. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. What does that mean? That Jesus, or the Spirit, was not going to be coming forth or sent until Jesus was glorified. Friends, we see that in John chapter 16 and verse number 13. The Spirit was going to be sent by the Father. We see that in John 14, 26. The Spirit is going to be sent by Jesus. They were going to be sending the Spirit, which means that the Holy Spirit or the Spirit's age was not going to begin until Jesus was crucified. Reminds me of Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, I'm sorry, I saw in the night visions, there it is. One, like the Son of Man, came to the Ancient of Days, and it was given to him dominion, glory, glory, and a kingdom. What is he teaching us? He's teaching us that when Jesus was taken up on that cloud, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 9, that it was given something to him, dominion, glory, meaning honor, praise, and a kingdom. A church, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Friends, what is God teaching us already? That when Jesus completed his work, God set him on his right hand, thus giving him authority, thus giving him dominion, thus giving him a kingdom. And now they send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's age, the Spirit who was going to bring it forth the word that's going to be giving men and women salvation. That's good. Somebody say amen to that. That's good teaching right there. You know why? Because we live in a time today where people are thinking that they themselves are the author of their own salvation. But friends, God is the author of salvation. He's the one that gives all men salvation. In John chapter 6, verse number 63, Jesus says it like this. Notice what he says here. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Why would Jesus say that? I believe Paul picks up the baton in Galatians chapter 3 verses 19 through 21 as it relates to those individuals who were trying to be justified by the law of Moses. And here Paul, he argues with them and tells them that life could have never come from the law of Moses, but life came by the Spirit. The age of the Spirit. Friends, I said all that to say all of this. When we consider the age of the Spirit, God is thus going to be delivering men and women from their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ through the spoken word. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verses 19 through 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse number 1. Notice how God even revealed himself to Samuel even under the Mosaic system. God has always used his word. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Here it is. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel, notice, in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. How did God reveal himself even to Samuel? By the word. How is God going to reveal himself even to us today? Through his word. Nothing miraculous. Oh, it's good to see you smiling, Brother Pope. Joy must be truth, right? There's truth in there. We have people even today saying, well, God revealed himself in that tree. I saw Jesus in some Fruit Loops. We've seen those particular things. That's crazy, friends. We got to get back to the Word of God. We got to get back to the revealed Word of God. And there is a purpose for the Word of God. So, why do we need to know this? Number one, because Jesus promised the apostles that they were going to receive power. Let's go through these real quick. Look at Mark 9, verse 1. Why is this important? Friends, the Holy Spirit was not sent to us personally. The Holy Spirit was sent to the apostles. We discussed that on last week, but now I want us to develop it even further. And if you need to go to the archives on the website, Brother Mike does a great job by putting those up the very next day. You go back and I'll need you to listen to last week's lesson and thus get a foundation. And friends, this is vitally important for us to understand. Why? Because when you consider the Holy Spirit and you consider the doctrine, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, it is the most important teaching in the scriptures. Why? Because it is the Holy Spirit that brought forth the word. And when people believe that they are receiving anything miraculous from God today, then their interpretations of the scriptures will be off guaranteed. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 1, notice what Jesus says. And he said to them, assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. What is he saying? Well, look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 2, verse number 5 and verse number 8, we see that the Holy Spirit is going to be given to the apostles, which means that the power for Pentecost was going to be before the day of Pentecost. It was going to be coming, on the day of Pentecost. And here Jesus tells his disciples, as it relates to go and wait to Jerusalem, tarry and wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for power. They were going to be receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to be within them themselves, for there was only one individual, Colossians 2 and verse 9, that had the Holy Spirit within his literal body. Now, let me give you a passage that's going to help you understand that. Put it in your notes, James 4 and verse number 5. But here we see in Acts chapter 1, verse number 2, notice what your Bible there has to say. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 2, to the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after suffering, this I'm talking about his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days after speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Drop down to verse number 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Drop down to verse number 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end, the uttermost parts of the earth. Friend, what is Jesus teaching? What is he saying? That it was going to be the apostles that were going to be receiving power for Pentecost. But we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, that they actually received power on the day of Pentecost. And when they received that power, they were then able to speak in tongues, perform miracles. They had that power, Brother Randy, not us. None of us have the power to go out to the graveyard and raise anyone from the dead. Friends, there was a purpose for miracles. There was a purpose for these particular things. I don't have time to go into those now. But there were even power beyond Pentecost. You remember, as it relates to the succession of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, that it was going to start in Jerusalem and then branch on out to Judea and then go further out into Samaria and then to the Gentiles, the uttermost parts of the earth, which means that the power for Pentecost was going to be beyond Pentecost, I'm sorry, and it was going to go to Samaria and then also to the Gentiles. And we see this in Acts 8 and also in Acts 10. What does this mean? That none of us received that direct power like they did. Friends, we got people teaching that they received the direct power of the Holy Spirit today. We see it on television. We even hear it amongst our friends. They'll say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that last night. Brother Dennis made a comment in class, talking about one of our own departed brothers from the faith, Rick Ashley, saying that the Holy Spirit talked to him 12 years ago and told him this is what we ought to be doing. Friends, that's false teaching. And the reason why we know that is because the Bible is the result of the Spirit's teaching. The Bible, the Word of God. Number two, it's through the Spirit's teaching that God's people have benefits. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. There the Bible teaches that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We see this even flushed out even more so in 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. Turn your Bibles there. And I want us to notice this particular aspect. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, there are great benefits as the child of God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. Brother Michael Light, who's the preacher in Bang, said something powerful that I believe sheds light on this. When you think of a seal, you think about protecting that which is on the inside. You know, you think of those Ziploc bags and it has this seal, you got, and you protect that which is on the inside. But you see the seal on the outside. What is God trying to protect on us? He's trying to protect our souls, our hearts. Thus, the seal is on the outside. See, the Holy Spirit is not on the inside because it's the Spirit's Word that's teaching us as we are living this life to depart from sin, depart from evil. Why? Because when we take the teachings of God's Word, it's protecting that which is on the inside, and that's the soul of the man. Oh, that's good teaching. What is God trying to protect till the day of redemption? And in Romans chapter 8, verses 23 and 24, that when we receive that new body, what new body? The new body like what John talked about in 1 John 3, the first three verses, because God is protecting our soul. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus, what are you teaching us? That I want to protect that which is on the inside, our souls. And that's why when we can take the Spirit's teachings and we can add it to our lives, we can be the people who are renewed in heart, Romans 12 and verse 2. We can be a people who are confident of our sonship, Romans 8, verse 14 and 15. We can be a people who understand the benefits of walking according to the Spirit's teaching, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Friends, we need the Word. We don't need the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. There was a reason why he came. I believe, according to 1 John 5 and verse number 7, they're bearing witness in heaven. Holy Spirit is in heaven, not on earth. Friends, we got to keep that in our minds and stop listening to the denominational teachers and preachers of the land. And let's listen to God. And God left us His Word that we may listen to Him, that we may understand Him, that we may reason with Him. Oh, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. But then, number 3, not only are there great benefits, but the book of Ephesians gives us great benefits as it relates to the church. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Y'all don't go to sleep on me yet. Friends, there are great benefits corporately. And I'm going to give you a slew of scriptures right now that the Spirit's teachings has left us. And then after we leave these slew of scriptures, we're going to go back to the beginning, John chapter 13. And we're going to rest in verses number 33 through verse 35. Because the more I thought about Jesus being glorified and the Holy Spirit coming after Jesus had been crucified and scourged, and how He was on that cross for 6 long hours for us, and how He completed the work of God, and no wonder He could tell the Father, it is finished. Tetelestai, I've done the work. Done it. Think about what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, Brother Benson. This is powerful here. Friends, there are corporate benefits, and Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us those benefits that if we just hang in there and do what God has told us to do, friends, not only will we receive eternal life, friends, that's a given, but we'll be able to live the life of the Spirit through His Word, and thus drawing people to Christ. And no wonder Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Ephesians chapter 2. Calm down, Mike. I'm trying. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Here it is. In whom you also are being built up together for a dwelling place of God. He's talking about the church in the Spirit. Oh, friends, notice Ephesians 3 and verse number 5. Notice we have more benefits, and it just keeps on flowing out of the book of Ephesians, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed. How? By the Spirit. To who? His holy apostles and prophets. Friends, notice how it has been revealed. Verse 4, chapter 4 and verse number 1, 2 and 3. Friends, notice the benefits of the Holy Spirit. The benefits of the teachings of the Spirit of God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Let me stop real quick. I can't cross over this point. Friends, there's no way that the people of God who are walking according to the Spirit's teaching ought to be a people who are divisive from a demonic perspective. We are the people of God, and notice what He says in verse number 2. With all lowliness, notice the attitude and gentleness. Notice for how long? Long suffering, bearing with one another in love, making every effort, that's the word endeavor, endeavoring to keep the unity. Literally, we are maintaining the unity. We don't make unity, because unity has already been made. Jesus prayed for that unity in John 17, verses 1 through 26. We understand that if we just keep what the Spirit has left us, we are to endeavor to keep the unity, notice, belonging to the Spirit. One body. One Spirit. Just as you're called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Friends, that's the unity of the Spirit right there. Oh, yes, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to be in Christ. It's a blessing to be walking according to the Spirit's teaching. And then when I go to the Word of God, I understand this is from the very mind of God. And then when I do this, then I can do my best to remain in the one body, to understand the one Spirit, the revelation, to understand that there's only one faith and one hope. Friends, these are corporate benefits. Ephesians 5 and verse number 9. We see that we can walk in the light. Is it that in your Bible? You drop down to verse number 18. His teaching should be greater and our only influence. Notice what he says in verse number 18. And don't be drunk with wine. Do you have a drinking problem? Do you think that your drinking is going to help you get closer to God? No, sir, no, ma'am. You know, that's what they were believing. They were thinking the more they got drunk, the closer they got to God. No. The more you read God's word and obedient to his will, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The more that we understand God's will, the closer we get to God. And be not drunk with wine, where it is unsaveness, dissipation. But be ye filled with the Spirit. The word filled there is the Greek word plerao, which literally means to be filled to the full. It's like putting water in a cup and you're filling it to the brim, which means that Jesus is teaching us, I'm sorry, Paul is teaching us that there's no room for anything else. Really, man has listened to man for so long that when God speaks through his word, we can't hear him. We shouldn't make room for man's teaching. We ought to make room only for God's teaching. Ephesians 6 and verse 17 and 18. We all can carry the same weapon. Oh no, I'm not talking about the Smith and Wesson. I'm not talking about a grenade. I'm not talking about a 38-22. I'm talking about the Word of God. Y'all see that in your scriptures? Notice. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Oh, one thing I love about that sword of the Spirit, it cuts going, it cuts coming. It's two-edged. Hebrews chapter 4. We understand that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which comes forth from the very mouth of God, according to the book of Revelation, talking about the Christ. But notice verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice, in the Spirit. I believe he's talking about the attitude of the Spirit. How do I know what to pray for? The Spirit's teaching tells me what to pray for. How do I know I'm a child of God? The Word of God teaches me that I'm a child of God. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Friends, I said all of that for us to go back to John chapter 13. I'm about to let y'all out. Y'all might be able to see kickoff. I said all that. This. Jesus knew that his hour had come. And it's amazing that his apostles, his disciples, they were sorrowful in heart. No wonder in chapter 14, verse number 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Father's house of many mansions, if it was not so, I would have told you. Go to prepare a place for you. But Jesus knew that the Comforter, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit could not come, could not have been sent. The Word of God could not have been revealed unless Jesus met his hour. Jesus had to go through the scourging. He had to go through the beating. He had to go through the ridicule. He had to go to the cross in order for the Spirit to be sent and tell the apostles what he had already told them before. Now look at John 13. Y'all probably wonder how he going to bring that around. We just did. Notice the benefits. Verse 33, little children, talking to his disciples, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I told the Jews, this is John 8:21. He told the Jews, you're going to die in your sins and where I am, you can't come. But he didn't tell them that. Oh, you know, we don't have to die in our sins, song leader. We don't have to die in our sins. That's why Jesus was sent, that we didn't have to die in sin. Notice what he says, and where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, here it is, a new commandment I give to you. Oh, the Spirit's teaching was going to be teachings filled and saturated with the love of God. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. Friends, God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. You know who teaches us how to love one another? The Spirit's teaching. Oh, yeah, you got a love problem? You got a problem loving your spouse, loving your children, loving your parents, loving the brethren, loving the world? When I say the world, your fellow man, you have a problem demonstrating that love? Get to the Spirit's teachings. He teaches us how to love. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And by this, we'll all know that you are my disciples if you have love. Friends, the miraculous measure of the Spirit was never intended to remain. It had a purpose. And when that purpose was fulfilled, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, all we have now is the Word. That's why we need to read and study and meditate and ponder and love the Word. The more we love the Word, the more we'll love the Spirit and the Christ and the Father. Do you love the Word? How much do you love the Word? People want to be involved with the miraculous, but the miraculous is no more. It was only pointing to that which was going to stay. That's the Word. How well do you know God? You can't know God without the Word. You can't put it under your pillow and wake up in the morning and say, I got that passage. No, you got to open it up. And I'm going to say this. It's going to be my last point. I learned something yesterday talking to a brother, and he was talking about the three cycles of sleep. Little Mike, where you at? Remember that? And as he was telling me about those three cycles of sleep and what we download in our hearts throughout the day, when we go into that third cycle of sleep, it's when everything begins to download into your heart. Oh, what are you downloading? Not on your PC, not on your iPhone. What are you downloading in your heart? You ought to be downloading the Spirit's teaching. So in that third cycle of sleep, you'll wake up and it ought to be on your mind. So you can put it in your life. Be that man or woman of God that God desires you to be. You're not a child of God. We want you to be. What does the Spirit teach concerning salvation? You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, no, you just can't accept Jesus in your heart and go to the church of your choice. That's not what the Spirit teaches. You got to repent of your sins, meaning turn away from sin. You can't remain in sin and come to Christ. Jesus said, repent or perish. You must confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Don't confess your sins. Jesus already knows you're a sinner. He needs you to confess Jesus. Then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, you shall receive the gift, notice, of, O.F., the Holy Spirit. It didn't say the Spirit himself, that which belongs to the Spirit. Galatians 3 and verse 21, you're going to receive life, eternal life with God. No wonder Jesus said in John 10 and verse number 10, for the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, I come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly. Don't you want the abundant life? Maybe you're a child of God, and you haven't been living according to the Spirit's teaching. You've been living according to your own desires. Let's stop that. Let's do God's will as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.